Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Senior Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Thank you for joining us today as we share together in God's precious Word. Here's Senior Pastor Walt Lanier, taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
Did Jesus love people during his ministry, his earthly time on earth? Did he love people? Well, of course, yes, absolutely. Surely nobody would doubt that he did. Even people that don't see Jesus as being who he said he was, as being God, very God, many of them acknowledge, well, he was a good teacher, he was a good man. So even a lost world recognizes the fact that he loved people. So you'd be a fool to try and argue against that. But how do you know that he loved during, well, his ministry, his life here on earth? Well, how do you know that he loves you? He died for us. He constantly, during his earthly ministry, he constantly demonstrated that love. That's why 1 John talked about to love in deed and in truth and not just in our words. You'd be a fool to doubt that Jesus loved people. Now, for just a moment, we're going to stretch the mind just a little bit so that it can be refined some through this. Jesus never, that we have recorded, verbally told anybody, "I love you." We never have those words being recorded as exiting Jesus's mouth. Now, the reason I say that is so you can ponder this. How can we be so sure of something that was never said? Consider that, especially in a system that's founded upon God said. Our very fabric of our beliefs are founded upon God said. If we never have a record that he said this, how can we be so sure that it's true? Consider creation, how God said, and there was. God said, "Let there be light," and guess what? There was light. He spoke its very existence into being. You look over the course of whole scripture and the power in his words alone for him to speak something and it to be so. From miracles to deliverance to a creation, you name it. Just the power of him being able to speak. Surely, surely, without a doubt, if Jesus had come down to this earth and simply said, "I love you," it would be true, very true, because he said it and that settles it. The power that would be in those words alone, yet he chose rather to demonstrate it. Romans 5:8 says that he demonstrated his love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then during his ministry, if we would think of that as kind of being the peak, the pinnacle of the demonstration of his love, surely he would be justified in coming to this earth and living a life that was secluded and clustered away from society so as not to be touched or to be bothered and to set himself apart to be that sacrifice. Surely he would have every right to do so. But yet, he chose instead, rather than living in seclusion in preparation for that terrible sacrifice, he chose to live a life that ministered to those around him. He ministered among us, to us. He lived out his love toward his neighbor. Now, the closest that we get to Jesus being recorded as saying, "I love you," that I could find is John chapter 15, verse number 9. Verse 12, I have 9 in my notes. I better check. Will you put John 15, 9. Yeah, verse 15, 9. That's what I have marked. These are the words of Jesus. He speaks to his disciples and he says, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love." And this is why it's so important. If we're going to continue in something, we need to try and understand it, what it is that we're to continue in. But notice this. He says, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you." Notice how the focus is not on some present abstraction of feeling. And that's normally how we are when we, you know, declare the love that we have for a spouse or a family member. this was something that Caitlin had to get used to after we got married, is every time I'd end the phone call with mom or dad or somebody, it was some of the last words out of her mouth was, I love you. And the first time she was around and I was on the phone with my mom and we got ready to hang up the phone, I was like, all right, love you, mom, and then hang up. And she's just kind of staring at me. Caitlin is. And she's, is everything okay? Well, yeah, everything's fine. You know, why wouldn't it be? And it, for her growing up, that just wasn't the normal. She grew up in a loving home, but it wasn't normal for them to, on a regular basis, verbally express that and tell each other, you know, I love you, that kind of a nature. And I grew up that way. I'm grateful I grew up that way. And here, the focus is not on that present abstraction of feeling. That's what happens. When someone looks at you and say, I love you, we're kind of just trying to summarize this general feeling of fondness or friendliness towards them that generally is how it's used in our everyday conversation. But instead of an abstraction of feeling, Jesus points to a particular action of fellowship. And I want you to notice the tenses, how it's used here. We say, I love you. Jesus said, I have loved you. Consider the difference. Wouldn't it be something at the end of the day, instead of looking over, you know, to your spouse or to your kid or whoever it may be and telling them, you know, good night, I love you, to say, good night, I have loved you today? You see the difference. One points towards, okay, yeah, I'm appreciated, just that general feeling. The other one says, look at the proof. You have been loved today because of what's been done, what's been said, what's been shown. Jesus put it that way when he said, I have loved you. Continue in my love. And again, if we're to continue in something, we need to try and understand it. And so here are just a few verses about the love of Christ before the rest of our time we're going to look at his ministry. But here are just a few verses that you'd write down if you'd like. 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. So these are kind of some prerequisites to really comprehending, trying to, the love of Christ in his earthly ministry, is understanding, well, the love that we're talking about in the first place. We love him because he first loved us. In verse 10 of that same chapter, 1 John 4:10, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Of course, elsewhere in scripture, we know not our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. And then 1 John 3:16, hereby perceive we the love of God. This is how we understand it, because he laid down his life for us and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And so time won't allow us to examine every area of love in the life of Christ, obviously, but hopefully the brief study tonight is going to provide a satisfactory overview and a foundation for you to have a deeper study. So tonight we are going to examine the love of Christ, or specifically, as the Bible refers to it, the compassion of Christ. You probably heard before, you know, it's put out there for especially Hollywood budget, things like that, but the passion of the Christ. I want to talk to you about the compassion of Christ. And we're going to go through this in order of appearance in our scripture in a linear fashion. That way you don't have to flip back and forth. I'm going to start in Matthew and we're just going to go along through the books. There will be some instances that will be repeated because after Matthew, there's Mark and Luke, and some of them refer to some of these same events. But to keep from flipping back and forth, we're going to go through them in order of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and not chronologically, time-wise, as these events would have happened. And I'll try to make mention when it's something that we've already covered, just so you can have that for your own notes. But the first time I want to look at it is in Matthew chapter number 9, verses 35-38. Matthew chapter 9, 35-38. And as we find out the love of Christ, the compassion of Christ, we're going to see some very familiar and fascinating parts of his ministry and principles that it's attached to that hopefully we'll have a greater appreciation for after we read about these.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Senior Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious Word. Well, from now until tomorrow, May God bless you richly, is our prayer.